Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
All right, it is 9:41, and this is Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. And we continue now with the week in health. Always a pleasure to have joining us on the program Dr. Jeremy Silver. He's the medical director of emergency medicine, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital. Dr. Silver, my friend, how are you today?
Dean, the pleasure is distinctly mine. Good to speak to you.
Always nice to get some good information from you. I wanted to talk about concussion syndrome. We are in football season right now with, professional and college, but especially for kids who are, playing football. There are some serious risks that can take place that you probably see in your emergency room, I would imagine, more often than other times of the year.
Yeah, you got that right, Dean. It's definitely the concussion season, if you will, although a concussion can happen at any time. And just to go over the basics for those who are listening, it's a concussion. What is it? It's a type of traumatic brain injury. So it's not just the knock on the head. It can be quite serious. But, of course, there's a spectrum from very mild to extremely severe. And the key is really it comes down to how is the person behaving, how do they seem, and then, in terms of the lingering effects, what that's going to look like.
So what kind of – I mean, there have been arguments for years now. Is it safe for kids especially to play these high-impact contact sports? What's your take on all of this?
You know, it's a bit of a hot-button issue. People are very passionate. Of course, kids, sports are great for kids. But I definitely think that we need to pay attention to concussions, particularly in those sports that are high-impact. So, there are sports like tennis and swimming where, it's very unlikely to have it. You might get one concussion once, but in terms of repeat concussions, sports like football, as you mentioned, there can be long-term effects, brain damage, depression, and there's even some thought that serial concussions, and I don't know the number, but after a certain number, you run a risk of developing a degenerative brain disease down the line, like some of these football players have developed.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's definitely concerning.
Yeah. So I don't even know. I mean, is high school football still played tackle, or have they gone to some kind of a touch game or flag game for high schoolers?
My understanding is it's still tackle. There may be some modifications, from school to school, but I think it's still pretty much like it used to be.
Okay, so are you, as a medical professional, are you comfortable with the way young athletes protect themselves? Is the padding, the helmets, et cetera, is that enough?
I don't know that there can be enough padding around the head to truly protect it. And I think, I think the reality is this, Dean. If your kid is playing football, that that the child and you as the parent are assuming some level of risk to the well-being of the child. And so I think, what the conversation that we should be having is, look, it's up to every family to decide what's right for their kid. Not every kid is going to end up with a post-concussive syndrome, but there's a very real risk. And no, I mean, I just don't think you could potentially, without changing the sport dramatically, it's hard for me to envision creating the kind of helmet type of structure that you would need in order to make it really, really safe.
Yeah, and really it's changing the culture, isn't it, of the game. Because we kind of like our, some of our sports to have that risk of, just getting out there and crushing the other guy, for the sake of winning a game. I mean, that's part of the culture of it all, right?
Sure. Well, they don't call it the gridiron for nothing. And I think that there's, you know, a longitudinal aspect to learning a sport. So, you know, to take the tennis analogy, if you're not slowly building up your speed and strength, you know, by the time you get to the pro level, if someone's serving at 120 miles an hour, you're not going to know what to do with it.
Yeah.
And the same thing with football. If you're not understanding what tackling is and the grappling that occurs on the line, then, you know, you get to a professional level, you're just not going to cut it. So it goes all the way to the top of the game, to the NFL, where, you know, they have to make a decision about what they think is safe for these adults, and then that all trickles back down to the high school and the Pee Wee level, I would think.
Yeah, let me bring Andy Mazur in on this, because, I mean, this is a discussion that's been going on forever.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack. I mean, because, you know, the doctor's right. I mean, in Pee Wee football, they're teaching this technique called heads-up tackling, where they want to make sure that the kids have their heads up rather than their heads bowed for, you know, for head injuries and going head on with in collisions. But doctor, I mean, Tua Tagovailoa, who's the quarterback for the Miami Dolphins, is actually going to play today. He's starting the game, and he's had four concussions that I can remember in the last year and a half. And plus he had one in Alabama as well. It's just so hard to talk these guys out of playing, but it's just a matter of time. It seems like,
you look at, these guys that have suffered concussion after concussion, and then some of these guys that, you know, with the chronic traumatic encephalopathy, and, you know, unclear whether that's just a certain type of brain that is predisposed to a disintegration over time based on the trauma. You know, whether that happens to everybody or whether it only happens to certain people who are just predisposed genetically. But I think there's definitely, you kind of feel it, right? When you see somebody who's gotten hit, you look at them on the sideline and they're standing, they've got the 1,000-mile stare. You know, it's just, it's worrisome that some of those effects are going to linger for a long time.
You know, we're talking about football with regard to this, but, you know, I'll watch a soccer game from time to time, and those guys get pretty beaten around as well with far less protection than a football player has. Going out into, you know, that kind of situation, are we seeing injuries like that for soccer players as well?
I think in the soccer world, just, you know, anecdotally, I've heard folks, you know, my brother-in-law is a soccer coach, and, you know, talk of helmets in the soccer world has kind of percolated every now and then. But they do, you know, they are running fast and hard, and they're actually using their head to knock the ball.
Yeah.
And if you miss the ball and hit somebody else's head, you know, that's not going to feel good.
Yeah, so, I mean, is it more likely, because of the nature of the game then, that football would still be more dangerous than soccer or, I don't know, what other sports would, you know, even be involved with this? Some of the extreme sports, of course, I got to think that I've watched some of these tournaments of bike riding. You know, I'm not sure exactly what it's called, where they're going up ramps and going upside down, but they take like massive spills on these things too, and they seem to be fairly unprotected.
Yeah, certainly. You know, the sheer number of collisions that occurs within the space of the game puts football on another level, right? Even, you know, if you take soccer and lacrosse, where kids are running fast and hard, and there's, you know, in lacrosse there's a hard wooden stick in the mix, but yeah, you talk about extreme sports, and, you know, and skateboarding and biking and things like that. You know, there's just a built-in risk that I think just has to be it's got to be acknowledged, and then if you're still interested in pursuing that, you know, that's personal choice. But you certainly do need to acknowledge the risk,
yeah.
I would think.
Yeah, I think everyone has to make their own decision on that. That said, though, how would a parent know that there may be some problems? Are there things to look for, you know, physical attributes for a child that may have suffered a concussion or gotten, you know, beaten around a little bit during a game?
100%. So, you know, first of all, if they, you know, staring, inattentiveness, headaches, severe headaches, so pain, any kind of vision problems, a stumbling gait. So if somebody seems kind of off balance or just clumsy, or complaining of feeling dizzy, certainly vomiting, would raise, my suspicion immediately. And then of course, you know, trouble thinking clearly. And then, you know, there are other, signs that can kind of come down the line. So you might not recognize right away, but, nervousness or anxiety or just inappropriate sadness after the effect, or trouble with sleep even can be a sign that, a concussion has occurred.
And the best thing to do is get to a doctor as soon as possible after that?
Absolutely. We have all kinds of scoring models for children of every age from, you know, 0 to 99. We have ways of, applying statistics to try and understand what risk is. And for obtaining imaging, we have lots of different tests we can run in the department. We can do neurologic testing to see if somebody's back to normal. And we can certainly provide post-concussive therapy recommendations and referrals. There are people now that their entire professional career on the physician side is, built towards helping with concussion. And so the neurologists and the sports medicine folks, this is an area that they're deeply interested in. So there's definitely options for treatment that didn't exist 20 years ago.
Questions for Dr. Jeremy Silver, 312-981-7200, when we come right back. And we have time for one quick question for Dr. Jeremy Silver. Go right ahead. You're on WGN.
Okay. My husband, and thank you, Dr. Jeremy, my husband died from the disease of alcoholism and was very successful. He was only 61. But around age 50, he started drinking a lot more and then became a bit physical with me. And we then divorced, and 8 years later, he died. But what's the correlation between, you know, an increased or addiction and, this brain disease that you get from And he was the quarterback of his high school football team, and in his late teens, he experienced several profound concussions.
Yeah, let me see if we can get a response from the doctor here, because we are about to run out of time, doctor. The question really, if there is any connection between concussions and addictive behavior.
I'm not sure. I haven't read anything specifically about that, so I'd have to take a pass on that particular question. I apologize.
Okay, thank you anyway.
Thank you very much for the call, Dr. Jeremy Silver, Director of Emergency Medicine, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital. Have a great Sunday, Doc. We'll talk with you soon.
Dean, take care. Thanks again.